So I'm actually glad that Heather went first, because I wasn't going to give a background on physical activity and physical education. So I think it actually, the order worked out great. And thank you all for being here. I know that if it was me, I would have stayed in my warm, cozy bed, but I had to be here today. So I just want to start off telling you a little story about Jeremiah Douglas, which will give you an idea of what Project Lean does. I always get tired of those slides, you know, that say where our mission are and our goals. So I'm trying something new. You can let me know how it works. But meet Jeremiah. He is a 17-year-old student in San Diego Unified School District that I had the pleasure of meeting years ago. And he was a very excited, young, up-and-coming 17-year-old that represents a lot of the youth that we have impacted over the years in California. And he didn't like the junk food that was being served on campus. He said there was too much chips and soda in schools. This was before we had legislation to ban sodas in schools. And, you know, kids did enjoy physical education class. They were standing around a lot. And he wanted to make a difference. And so he got involved in our youth engagement program. And he worked with other youth. He talked to policymakers. He talked to food service. He talked to principals. And he talked to school board meetings and tried to make changes. And he was successful, again, working with other youth in doing that. And one of the things he said to me, which always hit home, was he said, if you would have told me when I first got involved that I could have made these changes, I would have thought you were crazy. And so he was just amazed at what he could do. And I've always been amazed at what the youth have been able to do in these programs. And since then, Project Lean realized that, you know, parents need to support efforts that are being made. And so we have provided trainings and tools. We have a toolkit, Parents in Action, to get parents involved to make sure that wellness policies are being implemented and changes are occurring. And then we also realized that the school board members really set the vision for the district, and their staff, whether it be principals, PE coordinators, food service directors, they need that support. So we started working with the California School Boards Association about 9 years ago, and when we came to them, you know, we said, we want to work with you to figure out how to communicate best to school board members so that they make nutrition and physical activity a priority. And what they told us was, you know, nobody has come to us and actually asked for our input. They always say, here, can you distribute this? But nobody's really wanted this as a partnership, and they really appreciated that, and it continued to grow. So Project Lean may not work so directly with youth now, but we do provide the tools. We have a lot of lessons learned that we are providing communities throughout the state. Which leads me to our school board project that I'm going to talk about today. We started off in nutrition, but most recently we got a grant from the California Endowment and focused on physical activity and physical education so that we could help school board members understand the importance of physical activity before, during, and after school. And today I'm going to share with you resources of successful strategies to implement physical activity policies in school districts. We do focus on environmental and policy change, not education at the individual level. And then share with you some challenges and opportunities in collaborating with school decision makers to improve physical activity. And so our project objectives, our grant was with the California School Boards Association, and we wanted to identify barriers and opportunities for school board members to improve, and I'm going to shorten this after the presentation of PE and PA, because it is a mouthful, and also how to support school districts to improve policy through resources and trainings. And so just quickly, we did conduct formative research. We formed a statewide advisory group, and the California Endowment had funded many groups working on physical activity and education, and we needed to be talking to each other. Some of them we've had long-term relationships with, but we pulled them together to discuss, you know, what policies should we be pushing, and what policies are school board members most receptive to implementing. We did pre- and post-surveys with California school board members, and we developed sample board policies. And how many of you work with your state school board association? Has anybody done that? Well, if you are working on school level policy, it is very important because school boards look to their state school board association for sample policies. And they take these policies and they hopefully tailor them with discussions in the community to meet their needs. But there's language in there that is the state laws and regulations, but by us working with them, we can also put other language in there of things that maybe aren't state law, but things that they should be considering and looking at. So it's very critical because those sample policies go out to 1,000 school districts in California. And then we also conducted trainings and developed materials, which I'll share in a minute. And so just to step back a bit, you know, schools play an important role in influencing student physical activity behaviors before, during, and after school to promote cognitive learning and related to lifelong participation in physical activity. So increasing physical activity among school-aged children requires school leaders to take a comprehensive view. And, you know, just to take Keisha here, you know, what are the opportunities for her, if you think about it, the moment that she gets up and she decides to bike, walk, or roll to school, she could have an opportunity to get maybe 15 minutes of physical activity in. During school, this is kind of new for folks. We know a lot of school board members weren't familiar with it, but interested is trying to integrate short physical activity breaks into the classroom. Without making teachers think that it's one more thing they need to do, like Heather talked about, but that it's easy and providing them with the tools. There's recess, hopefully. We haven't seen a lot of cutting of recess in California. And then, of course, physical education, making sure that kids, we like to see that they're moderate to vigorously physically active. That's a hard word. So MVPA, are you familiar with that? Great. And then also, joint use of school facilities. It's an area we've been working in with our ERA funding. You know, sharing facilities between a school and a community-based organization or a non-government organization so that they can share in the cost. And there's not a lot of land, so it's hard to come up with facilities for children. And then after-school programs. In California, PE is optional in after-school programs, so trying to... So there's many opportunities, and it's figuring out for school districts which ones work best for them, if not all. So just a few findings from our survey. We found that school board members that responded had a prevailing belief that physical activity positively impacts a variety of student health and academic outcomes. The majority of the school board members had a moderate to high positive impact, or they felt that physical activity had a moderate to high positive impact on fitness levels, academic performance, lifetime physical activity behaviors, and mental, emotional, and social health. So we know that they're aware of that link, but if they're not implementing these policies, then obviously we're not going to see the benefits of those things. Major barriers, which I'm sure you're not too surprised, this keeps coming up, but especially in California and the budget crisis we're in, particularly for our schools. And the first survey was sent out kind of at the beginning of that, and it hasn't gotten much better. But, you know, impact on the budget, limited time in the school day, largely due to the emphasis on core academic subjects, you know, which made us think about opportunities after school, even though it may not affect as many students, that some might be more receptive to that. And then competing district priorities. So we conducted three regional trainings throughout California, and which had school board members and some other key stakeholders. We did find that a lot of PE coordinators were coming because they wanted to know what to tell school board members as they were sitting in these meetings and hearing about programs being cut and trying to speak up and what messages resonated and what resources were out there. We did these in the beginning of this year. It seems like it was a long time ago, but I guess it was the beginning of this year. And then we conducted five workshops and that were not as long, you know, and like this one, but our trainings were about a 5-hour all-day training. And then we shared Alicia shared cost-effective strategies was really key in the times that we're in, and showing that, you know, kids can still be active. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. We had district's representatives come and talk about what they were doing and how it didn't cost money. And I remember Ken Dyer, he's Teacher of the Year in Delano Unified School District, PE teacher, and he had data that showed, which is very important to school board members, that when you increase minutes of physical education, that test scores improved. And it didn't take much. It was just a few minutes. And then Matt Diskin with Gateway Unified School District in our more rural area of California, he was able to show he spent about $20 on a can of spray paint. And he just sprayed the playground with lines and dots and different ways that kids could be active outside of his PE class during recess. So just to share a quick tidbit of our results, we had 93 attendees, and about 50% of those completed the evaluations. And here's what they said, that they 73% said they'd address physical activity and physical education at a board meeting, which is what we wanted, would ensure that monitoring and evaluation occurred. And 45% were going to assess their environment to see what areas needed improvement and where they were doing well. And others said they would take action. We also worked with the California School Boards Association to create some new sample policies and then to update some existing. So there was no safe routes to school policy in California, so we're pretty excited to be able to develop that and work with our sister program. And then also a policy on joint use agreements, which I talked about earlier. And we had a physical education policy. And where do you put physical activity? This was sort of new. It wasn't in any of their policies, of the different opportunities to increase physical activity during the school day. So we added it to the physical education policy, and those are on the CSBA website. Then we developed a series of fact sheets and policy briefs to show you. I just grabbed a sample of each, but they are available on both of our websites, CSBA and CPL. Again, I would say moderate to MVPA wasn't as, people weren't as familiar with it, so we knew we needed to put information out there on, you know, what is it, why is it important to health, and how can you get it. Safe routes to school programs, people wanted to know, you know, how do you get started? What are the elements of a effective safe routes to school program, and where can you find funding? And then I say that, you know, a really critical piece was the Active Bodies, Active Minds, which talked about the link between physical activity, physical education, and academic achievement. And we gave these to advocates that were working throughout the state, so when they could go to school board members and they could share these resources. You know, and when school board members see it, it's got the logo from CSBA on it, it adds a lot of credibility rather than just public health, who we've been known to call, you know, nutrition police or whatever it might be. And I just wanted to share, on our survey, we did ask about those who had received at least one of our resources, and then among those who received it, 65% experienced one or more of the following impacts listed. So having an increased knowledge of strategies to improve physical activity, having a better understanding of the link, again, bringing up the issue at a school board meeting. And they 23% said they plan to adopt or update their PA policy, which is what we were shooting for. And then lastly, I just want to share, because it was kind of exciting times for us when the governor held a summit on nutrition, obesity, and health this past February. And all of our work, you know, working with the advisory committee, doing the research, developing these resources, really helped hone into, we were asked internally, because we were seen as experts within the department, you know, what needs to happen in California. And so, and then the governor's office, and they wanted to talk to think tank groups and experts, and we were able to point them to experts who we had long-term relationships with or sit on that advisory committee I mentioned earlier, and ask them what needs to happen. And they were hearing the same thing, and when you're hearing, sort of like the stars were all aligned, when you're hearing the same thing from both internally and externally, they felt like, these were the governor's, five of his policy planks related to physical activity, felt that these were the things that needed to happen. And it really, that's a lot of stuff to happen in 1 year, and it hadn't, you know, seen that much, so it was exciting. However, they did not pass, but there's always a positive side to that that we've seen in our work in California. The first two, putting MVPA in PE, making sure that students are engaged in at least 50% of class time in MVPA, and then the after-school one, making sure that students had 30 minutes of physical activity, MVPA. That was combined with the joint use. So there was language in there that increased the flexibility of joint use. And so this is my opinion, but when you put three different subjects like that in one bill, if people have problems with any of it, it won't pass. But what happened was is there was a fiscal attached because of the joint use, and then it went to appropriations, and it didn't come out. And pretty much anything that had fiscal attached in this climate was not going through. And then we did have success. The governor had, for his fitness challenge, had wanted to have 1 million participants from schools that signed up, and that he would provide 8 new gyms, facilities for schools. And he's exceeded that with 1.3 million participants and funding 8 new schools. So that was good news. And then the Safe Routes to School, that was more looking at, you know, there was barriers for more needy communities to have access to Safe Routes to School funding. So since then, we've been able to work through some of the issues, because what it did is it raised that as an issue, and it helped codify the governor's intent and policy, so that when he's gone, it's still an important issue that was recognized. So I think, again, as we've seen, like our taking soda out of schools, many partners were involved in making that happen. That took 7 years to happen, and you know, it didn't pass the first time, so it's baby steps. You know, this raises awareness to these issues because it was in the media. You know, the School Board Association was taking positions on it, so to school boards, there, hopefully that will create more discussion on that. And then lastly, did I get the 1 minute yet? Okay. Is, you know, again, you've probably heard me say this a few times, but we really need to keep encouraging and sharing cost-effective strategies to increase physical activity so we don't see more cuts or more PE teachers cut in our schools. You know, because we were in one of the worst times I've seen, you know, perhaps the resources and tools, perhaps we could have slipped back even more, you know, and had more cuts to PE programs if people aren't speaking up. So even if we weren't maybe, you know, improving a lot of physical activity programs throughout the state, although some have, and that we know when school board members are better equipped with resources and tools, they can help address physical activity better at school board members, and we need to conduct more trainings. I mean, we really didn't train. If you think of 6,000 school board members across the state, we needed to be able to train more, and that's been a little bit of a difficulty too, because your traditional trainings, there's no money for board members to come unless they're relatively close, and there's no money for us to have that many across the state either. So we're looking for new ways to get information out to them, and we are developing a series of online videos for that as well. So that is it. Thank you. And so we do have a childhood obesity conference in June 28th through July 1st, the largest addressing pediatric obesity in the nation. There's postcards in the back, and we'd love to see you there.
Question?
Okay.
Sure.
We actually talked to a professor who had stomach bone hip surgery, and he said he's always been obese. In high school, they allowed him to work in the office, because he couldn't do everything. He said, if we could only get a special program for PE, for overweight and obese children, just like we do for special needs children, it would make a big difference. So that's a policy that we need to maybe consider.
Thank you for sharing.
Great point. I've heard that now at about 4 conferences. I think the academicians in the room need to start thinking about how we're training our pre-service teachers and get them that extra oomph rather than that little 5 minutes they get in the adapted physical education training and really teach them how to deal with this growing epidemic.